In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our beloved, dear Heavenly Father, as you have gathered us here this evening, we humbly wish to thank you, dear Father, that you have preserved us in thy kingdom to this day, something that we are not deserving of, but yet your abundant grace, your shielding hand, you have extended and granted unto us. And for that, we cannot thank you enough for. As we already have heard the word of God this day, we pray unto you, dear Father, that you would continue to grant the words that we need this evening. We pray unto you, dear Father, that you would also open our hearts and through eyes of faith, we may comprehend and understand the words that you give unto your servants. Dear Father, there are many that are in midst of great trials and difficulties and great doubts. Grant them, dear Father, a mind, a heart that understands and rejoices that they are yet thine own, and no matter in this life can be greater than the name of a child of God. For the many blessings that you have granted into our lives, we do not realize or see them all. But yet, for those things that we do not see, and those things that we do feel and see, that have been given from thine hand, we humbly thank you for them all. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, I come here very much doubtful and with cold feelings. Can I have my many sins and doubts forgiven? And as we begin these services, you can also, right in the beginning, you can believe all your doubts and sins forgiven also. We will read the Word of God from the book of Exodus, from its 14th chapter. It is a somewhat of a lengthy portion, but I thought that maybe it is good that we read it so that we understand, and even those little ones that are here, maybe it is easier when there is a complete picture of a story. I will begin from its 10th verse in Jesus' name as follows. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. This is probably a very familiar happening to most of us, and also to you little children. Maybe your Sunday school teacher has taught you when Moses parted the Red Sea, as we heard in our text. Or maybe your mother or father or grandparents, maybe they have told you about this text sometime. And I think as parents to children, especially at services, but also, of course, they're at home, it seems that they're not always listening to what is being said. And I'm guessing that with my mother and father, when I was a little boy, I'm sure they thought the same things then about their children, my brothers and sisters. And I can't remember how old I was. But I do remember a speaker brother when I was very young. I can't remember how old I was. When he spoke from this text at services, and if I had to guess, I probably didn't look like I was listening, but yet to this day I remember bits and pieces of exactly how he said things about this portion. We're not going to go too much in detail about the life of, you could say, the main person in this text, which was Moses. But this was the same Moses that we have read and been taught about in Sunday school, about the little baby that was put in the basket and placed, I believe it was in the Nile River, after the Pharaoh had decided that the people of Israel that he had enslaved, they grew too great in number, and he placed them in very hard and strenuous work, mainly making bricks to build with. And it seemed like that had no effect. The people of Israel continued to multiply. The number became greater and greater. So the Pharaoh then ordered that all the little babies, the boys, that they were to be killed. He was beginning to be afraid of the army that could become out of that great people. Moses was but a little baby. And he was placed in the basket floating in the river. And the daughter of Pharaoh happened to see this basket that was floating there on top of the water. And through a miracle of God, God had not forgotten any one of his children there, including Moses. And Moses was taken from the basket into the home of that daughter of Pharaoh. And it also so happened that the mother of Moses was able to feed and care for his son in the early stages of his life. We heard this morning of the many prayers that parents have prayed on behalf of their children. And I would say that the parents of Moses prayed much that nothing would happen to their little boy. And we see and we can read that God heard those prayers and nothing did happen. But as we read about Moses, we also know that God had a plan for him later on in his life. And God needed Moses to do the work of God. And as Moses grew, he was placed back in the home of the Pharaoh's daughter and raised there into a youth, young man. And he was held in such high regard that he could have had about any office he could have wanted. He was well liked, even by those who were in unbelief. And maybe we can think about it in this way, that even though we are in the midst of sin, when we leave from here, from our homes, wherever we are gathered with God's children, and we are thrown into sin in abundance around us, Moses was a believer in the midst of unbelievers. But yet he remembered, perhaps mother and father had taught him the ABCs of faith, and he was holding dearly on to the little bits that he understood through eyes of faith. He must have behaved and spoken the way a child of God should behave and speak, even when it seemed like no one was watching. God always knows where we are, how we behave, what we are watching, and what we are listening to. And in this way, he was a candle, even though it was a dim candle in darkness. So then, a little bit later on, Moses was called by God. He was in the desert, living in the desert. And he was called by God to proclaim the judgment unto Pharaoh. And remember that he had grown up and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And I think there is a place here somewhere where when God speaks to Moses, that he should speak to Pharaoh. And Moses, very reluctantly, he accepted what God had asked him to do. He says that, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And then, in the beginning of these verses, there is a little description of what the verses contain. And it says that God reassures Moses. Certainly he needed the reassurance to go to someone who is as powerful as Pharaoh was when he was going to him and tell him of the many plagues that were going to affect not only Pharaoh, but all the Egyptians. And we have, not so long ago, we have gone through those plagues in our Bible class. And we remember how eventually the Pharaoh let go of the Israelites, the slaves that he held in his country. But it was at a very high cost for Pharaoh. He had gone through many of the plagues that God had sent into the land of Egypt. And I don't know for certain, but I don't think the Bible says anywhere that even though the Israelites were there in that country, that they were affected in any way by these plagues. They were only directed toward Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. So then Pharaoh let them go, and Moses led the Israelites from Egypt toward the promised land. And now begins, as the Bible records, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So certainly, even though they did not know how long this trip was going to be, the children of God needed help. And if we read in the book of Exodus, we can read that during the day, the children of God were led by a pillar of cloud.
And then when night came, when darkness came, it was a pillar of fire that went before them to guide them where they were needing to go. So God chose Moses to lead, perhaps it was millions of people. Somehow I remember 600,000 men, their wives, and their children. God had chosen Moses to lead them to do God's will and to speak to the people on behalf of God. We understand that Moses was not chosen because he was perfect. Apostle Paul writes that everyone has come short of the righteousness of God. Everyone has sinned. So that means that Moses also had sinned, but yet he was chosen by God. And if we would read the pages of the Bible, we can also see that Moses was not the first one or the only one that was a sinful person, but yet was used as a very important tool for God to carry on his work. Many people in the Old Testament fell into sin. David, for example. But yet, David was chosen by God. And many more. And in the New Testament, there are also many. Apostle Paul, who taught many of the believers and wrote those many letters and epistles to different congregations in his time. And also those that were very close to Jesus. We know what Peter did. He denied Jesus. Not one time, but three times. But yet, later on in Peter's life, we can read that God used his gifts through Peter to speak to the children of God of his time. They all had flaws. They were all very ordinary people. The disciples of Jesus, they were very ordinary people. The mother of Jesus was a very ordinary young woman. And not much has changed from those thousands of years ago today. Those of us who have been asked to come to this place, we are very ordinary people. And we also fall into many sins. You mothers and fathers, and you brothers and sisters, you grandparents, we are all very ordinary, prone to sin people, but yet God has entrusted us to lead and guide one another in our walk of faith and to instruct, to rebuke, and to uplift our brothers and sisters in faith. This is a very, very precious gift and office that God has placed us in. So in that way, Moses was no different from us, even though he was able to do that miracle that we read of in our text. The people of Israel, when they had left Egypt, God had guided them to go a certain route. And when I read this portion and a little bit before that, some portions before this, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's somewhere in Exodus. How God had mapped out a precise plan which route they were to take. And it said that they could have taken the route of dry land all the way. But because there were wars in those areas, God did not let his people pass through, because he said otherwise they would return to Egypt. So he had chosen this route to go directly toward the Red Sea. The children of God at that time, they didn't know what was ahead of them. But one could imagine that they would certainly be happy and thanking God that they no longer have to be slaves in a foreign land. They didn't know everything that they were to come across, to endure and suffer along their way. I thought for a while that I wonder how many would have stayed had they been told only those things that they would have to suffer through. What would happen to us if we would know everything that we will have to endure in our lives? If we knew all the difficulties that we would have to go through, isn't this also a blessing from God that we don't know? One moment at a time, we take these steps toward heaven, and God has seen it good to withhold many things from us so that we may benefit from it. As we read in our text, the people of Israel, they were heading toward the Red Sea. And when they came to the place where there was water in front of them, they knew that the Pharaoh, his soldiers, they were coming close. It said that when the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So Pharaoh had changed his mind when he had let the people of Israel go. He was very angry. Now there was no one to make more bricks. There were no more slaves in his country. All the plagues that he had had to suffer through, the firstborns were killed. Pharaoh was very angry, and he was set to destroy, to kill the people of Israel by his soldiers. And he sent his soldiers to chase after the people of Israel. He knew the route that they took, and he knew that there would be water that they would have to cross. The believers realized that they're being chased by an army. If I remember right, 600 soldiers or 600 horsemen, their chariots. So the children of God then spoke to Moses, and they said that we have water in front of us. We can't go back. We're going to get killed by the soldiers. If we go forward, we can't cross the water. They had taken all their belongings and even all the gifts that they have received while they have been there. They had been in Egypt. They had been there all their lives. Their fathers had been there all their lives. They had been in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. They had lots of luggage. Moses answers the people when the people say that it would have been better for us to remain in Egypt, to be slaves there, than to come to this wilderness to die. And then Moses speaks to his people, and he says, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day." And then he says that the Egyptians that you have seen today, that you will see them no more forever, because the Lord shall fight for you. And I think that not only the children of God that Moses led, but everyone that left Egypt at this point, they begin praying unto God. They were in dire need of help. Perhaps they didn't even know what to pray for. In their hopelessness. But God answers and says, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And then he instructed Moses to lift up his staff and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And this is what Moses did. He stretched out his hand out toward the sea, and God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, and the waters were divided. And it says that the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. And the children of God were able to go through what was once water, but now on dry land, walked all the way across. Now, at this time, of course, the soldiers of Pharaoh, they were much quicker. They covered more ground than the people of Israel did in the same amount of time. They were coming closer and closer. And when the last child of God had passed through these two walls of water, God again spoke to Moses. The Egyptians, they pursued and went in after them into the middle of the sea. All his horses, the chariots and the horsemen. So God said to Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And this is what Moses did. He stretched forth his hand, and the waters came together. There was no longer a safe channel to walk through. And God destroyed all them who were out to kill his chosen people. When we think of this happening in history, what had the children of God done? So that they would deserve this kind of treatment, this kind of a blessing and mercy from God. As I mentioned earlier, everyone is sinful. Even those three that we heard of this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were also sinful, prone to sin people, just like we are. They were no different in that regard. But yet, God spared them in that fiery furnace. He extended this type of goodness toward the people of Israel. And he extends his goodness unto us this day for the very same reason. We all have this in common with the Old Testament believers, that we desire to believe in God. We give glory unto God for what He has done, even though many times we waver and are at fault even in that. But we are We have been given such blessings into our lives that we do not understand or realize. And one, perhaps the most important gift that God has given unto us, to the people of Israel, to the New Testament people, God knows and God can see even the little bit of faith that we have in our hearts. That is enough. And when we think of how amazing and great of a thing God can make from that little bit, these children of God that we read from today, they are awaiting the day when they are awakened, when Jesus comes the second time. So are all the Old New Testament people, including those three in the fiery furnace. And those relatives and family members of ours that have died, they are also waiting that same day. We have that kind of a outlook when we dwell in God's kingdom. Even though it seems that there are days when it's very difficult to believe, and sometimes it seems that there is no faith in my heart. But God knows. God can see these things better than we can. So it is worthwhile that we would endeavor in God's kingdom and live in that hope that we are also promised this reward in heaven. And even though we don't have to worry about our lives, as many of the people in the Bible time especially, we realize that when they came to a place where it seemed that they cannot move forward, God had not forgotten them. God hasn't forgotten you. God has promised that He will never forget any one of His children. When we think of this crossing, when they crossed the Red Sea, it was very safe for the children of God to walk on that dry land. The water on the right side and the left side, as the text said, it was pointing straight up as walls. And if we were to walk that path, certainly we would be wondering that, will it hold? We would be scared. Isn't it so in our walk of faith this day. Many times we wonder. That is, God, how much patience does God have with me? All the things that I have done, all the things that I think in my mind, how much patience does God have? When you endeavor to believe, God will not forsake you. God will not forget you. He will remember you. He will lift you. He will carry you all the way home. The future of a child of God is such a great promise to us. We cannot begin to comprehend how blessed we are when we are in God's kingdom. God is able to remove our sins and cast them into the sea of mercy. Time and time again, all we can do is offer up our own errors, our faults, and our sins unto God. And in return, God cleanses our robe of righteousness so that it is white again, not only today, not just yesterday and today, but for the rest of our days, because He has promised that He will care for us and guide us to heaven. Dear brother, dear sister, believe this evening, all your sins, all your doubts, even all your thoughts, your deeds, believe them forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. All your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.